The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines, as well as the senior advisor to healthcare.com. What else do you do, Frank? And we have a COVID roundup. Frank, do you have time to...
You know, you try to take the best you can out of the news and where we are. We're still here. We're doing fine, the family and so on. But these are really crazy, tough times. And the COVID news, and that's what I really want to talk about today, this little COVID roundup, is, you know, let's use, you know, one of those words, challenging. You know, we were in challenging times. So we got this flash that this UK strain, which is something like 50 to 70% more contagious, that means it just spreads easier from one person to another, supposedly doesn't make you any sicker, does not make you more likely to die. The vaccines are okay to handle it, but, you know, it spreads 50 to 70% quicker. That's not good news. We've got two cases finally in Connecticut. We're now one of about seven states where this strain has been identified, but you can guarantee folks it's everywhere. So it was two kids, essentially kids, one 15 years old, one 25. One had been to Ireland, one had been to New York State, New York City. So the Connecticut Health Department is telling us to assume that if you get COVID, you've got this strain. That's how contagious it really is. You know, London's has essentially locked down because the strain is so contagious. So, look, I don't know if you get the COVID, you're going to get this strain, but be extra careful right now. And that really boils down to stay home. Stay home and grab the phone. Call your friends. Don't be isolated and depressed all by yourself. If that's your situation, talk to your friends. We're doing a good deal of Zooming and FaceTime and staying in touch with the kids who are in another state. Don't be isolated, but don't take any risks either. Certainly, you got to go out, wear your mask, stay away from people, especially anyone without a mask. Don't even go in the store. I mean, you just keep going. But be real careful because this COVID is out there. It's spread throughout the community. We've got a very high positivity rate now, 6-7%, some days 9. You get 50 people a day dying. This is not good, folks. So be really careful. The other thing is that this vaccine administration program that the state is running could be running a little bit better. I mean, it's doing better than some other states, but the advisory committee has just met and they're recommending that after we get through this first wave, which is healthcare workers and people in nursing homes, so this will be the second wave. It's going to start in February, we're hoping. And this will be essential workers, people in congregate settings, like that's like prisons or shelters. And people 75 years of age and up, they decided that. They're still debating more. One thing you got to debate is, you know, what's an essential worker aside from somebody working in a nursing home? Well, teachers would fall into that category, police, grocery store workers, and then people in these resident shelter or prisons. They have not decided. They had a meeting and it went on for a couple of hours. They couldn't decide at that point whether to make the vaccine available in this second wave to people 75 years and younger that have some sort of underlying condition. That can be something like diabetes or, you know, God forbid, a cancer that make you very susceptible to getting really sick if you get COVID. They haven't decided yet. They're going to meet again on that one. But here's a fact that I'm sure they're debating. 80% of Connecticut's 6,000 COVID deaths have been people 70 years and older. So you would think you'd want to protect them. And the more people you protect, the slower it's going to be to get the COVID vaccine out there to the wider group. But boy, if you got 80% of the deaths from people 70 and older, that's a strong argument to allow them to get those vaccines as soon as possible. Now, these are only recommendations. This is an advisory committee. At the final, it's going to be up to Lamont. The advisory committee should be coming back next week with some more information. And then I hope we can have Lamont give us some real direction by the end of next week. So, Jill, what do you make of it so far?
Of it so far is that a number of people want it and a number of people don't want it. So it seems like there is going to be enough. I'm just waiting for the recommendations to come out. I notice, I mean, not just for Connecticut. There seems to be a great deal of, I'll just say, fog around the whole thing. And I am struck by certain medical professionals based on what their, the good news about medical professionals is they do know what their patients' conditions are, and, you know, they tell them what they should do. So I think that that's heartening. And I would just, at this moment, ask people to consult their medical professionals and do what they, and follow what they, what they're comfortable with. I see that the mandatory aspect seems to be fading, which is, interesting. I don't know whether that's a product of not, insufficient dose availability or what, but it's.
Well, I mean, we need some direction, and I think what happened in Florida, this first come, first serve, anybody over 65, I mean, that was just ridiculous. You saw those lines that went miles and miles. It's got to be done. It's got to be done in a more targeted way, in a much more reasonable way. It's got to be done by an appointment, and so we do need this advisory committee to give us some solid parameters for this second wave. Exactly who's in there, then we need a system where people make appointments and then go to their appointments and get in and out in, let's say an hour. That's reasonable. It could happen because after you get the shot, you got to hang around for 15, 20 minutes, make sure you're not someone who gets allergic to it. That happens if you have high allergy tendencies in some scattered cases. So everybody's got to hang around for 15 minutes or so, and then off you go. Now that's an hour, that's acceptable in my mind compared to 6-7 hours sleeping overnight, going there at 3 a.m. That would be nonsense. I think we'll be more organized than that. So we're waiting for direction. We're waiting for Lamont to make some tough decisions. Meanwhile, the state is tracing clusters to find out where the COVID is breaking out.
Can I just
predictable. They're finding the clusters in restaurants, workplace, child care centers. That's a little surprising. We'll talk about that in a minute. And these congregate settings and prisons and shelters, that sort of thing. At the restaurants, it's the back staff. That's the cooks. Not the wait staff, not the patrons. When they trace it back, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from the cooks, essentially. There's just one restaurant with 16 COVID cases that came from one restaurant worker. So I got two words for you. Takeout. we're down here, some routine stuff down here in New York City. And last night we had a wonderful little takeout Chinese restaurant huddled around the TV on our TV tables with a couple of beers. It was fine. It wasn't the same, but it was fine, and it was safe. Lamont's got a lot on his plate, but he should be rethinking the restaurant 50% capacity in Connecticut. That strikes me as way too high. He's got this 10 o'clock curfew. That's nonsense. I mean, the virus doesn't go to sleep at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. It should be fewer hours. Okay, and it should be less capacity. That's my humble opinion. a little surprising and encouraging. Colleges did not show up in this latest sweep. They looked at 84 clusters, and they did not find any in the colleges. But they did find it in childcare centers, which is odd to me, because we know this virus, even the UK virus, doesn't spread among young children that easily. So what's causing that? I think it's just kind of the luck of the draw in a way, but you get the teachers coming into those childcare centers, which just tells you that the COVID is everywhere in the community. Be careful, okay? Meanwhile, in the United States, not great news. The Trump administration had promised that this Warp Speed vaccine program was going to get out to 20 million people, far over 20 million by now. They've gotten to about 6 million. That's a quarter of what they were hoping. And they got a lot more work to do. So the Trump vaccine czar is saying, hey, I got an idea. Why not cut the vaccine dose in half? Hey, see, if we cut it in half, we got twice as much, right? Okay. And he says the Moderna, not the Pfizer, but he says the Moderna one vaccine, a half dose, gets you the same immunity as people 18 to 55. Only need a half a dose to get the same immunity. Also, in the UK, again, they're under tremendous strain. The UK is stretching the two shots out. So you're supposed to get the first shot, then 3 weeks later you get the second shot. They're saying, no, come on back in 12 weeks. It'll be fine. Okay. The FDA says, hold on, buddies, not so fast. You don't have clinical trials backing up this stuff. We need more findings. Until you have those findings, take the shots the way they were done in the trials and prove to be 95% effective. So look at Pfizer, one shot, right? That'd be a half dose if that's all you got. Okay, it's only 52% effective. That's better than nothing, but that's just like a flu shot. And we know flu shots don't do the job. So if you get two shots, you're at 95% effectiveness. So why wouldn't you get your flu shot? You get it 3 weeks apart. All right, the FDA will sort this out. I don't expect half doses, certainly not a Pfizer. We'll see what they decide about Moderna. In the meanwhile, keep making those vaccines, guys, and get them out to more companies that can make them, so we have a wider supply. And let's get some clarity on who should be in line to get the shots in an effective way and in a reasonable time period. Now, one more thing, Jill. That I came across, and this is from, I've talked about these guys in the past, the Lown Institute. They do a great job of recommending how people can get the health care they need and no more than the health care they need, but exactly what they need. And they helped explain something to me this week about why there was such a disaster with the supply of PPE, you know, the personal protective equipment, the gowns, the masks, that kind of stuff in the nursing homes that killed so many people here in Connecticut and elsewhere around the country. You remember those times. I mean, the workers were told to go home and, you know, make bandanas because they didn't have any masks for them, wear the mask day after day, show up at work in garbage bags instead of gowns because they didn't even have gowns for them. So the Lown Institute just announced a tongue-in-cheek award, and it went to the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, for messing up this whole PPE supply chain back in the spring. Back then, you might remember, Kushner bragged that the Trump administration had taken control of the supply chain from the doctors, you know, and the scientists. They've got this thing under control. They're business people. They know how to do this stuff. So Kushner instructed FEMA to sweep up all the PPE in the world, okay, mostly out of China. So we're talking about gloves and masks and gowns. Buy them all. 3 billion pieces of equipment. They bought them, okay? And then instead of supplying them, as they've always done, to the states according to the states' needs, just the opposite. Kushner instructed this FEMA group to actually commandeer these state supplies, outbid the states. Yeah, Massachusetts had 3 million masks waiting for them in New York Harbor, and FEMA came in and just swooped them up, okay? And then FEMA doled them out to six medical supply companies. They even got the Department of Justice to give them an antitrust ruling. So these six medical supply companies, private for-profit companies, had all the PPE.
And then there was also the situation where sadly out of time, but there was also the situation where I know that not having to do with Kushner, but a couple of governors got themselves some. They went round and they ended up getting counterfeit stuff. So
counterfeit. They flew. I mean, the governor of Massachusetts borrowed the Patriots. This guy Kraft and Bob Kraft. He borrowed his private jet and flew to China to get his own stuff.
Right,
to get away from this from the grab.
And then Hogan worked really hard,
but FEMA. Anyway, but FEMA got all the supply, okay?
Was the FEMA supply?
Yeah, Hogan did. A couple of other people did, but they were bidding against each other. They were bidding against the FEMA. Then he was
to be continued. How about that?
And then they were told these six supply companies, which by the way were implicated in the opioid crisis that we had in this country for making so much of that stuff available. The prices were supposed to be reasonable, and 50% of it was supposed to go to the most needy, okay, of what they had. It's profiteering, okay, absolute profiteering. You're getting public taxpayer money buying supplies that end up in a private company's supply chain, okay, and then they sell it at a profit, okay? So it's profiteering. Three of the most needy places in the country got nothing. Okay, and that means people just died. So you got taxpayer money distributing public resources for private gain. I mean, that's just the opposite of Robin Hood. Here we are on Robin Hood Radio. That's the opposite of Robin Hood. That's taking money from taxpayers like you and I, and that's giving it to rich capitalists. That's That is corporate socialism. It's outrageous. Thank you, Jared Kushner.
All righty, Frank.
Up for his pardon, he's going to need it.
Oh, quite right. His father just got one, and now it will be his turn. Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available in-store, online, on my desk, and of course, he will keep COVIDizing for us.